just want to make sure what I see here is what is in there. Four keys to stop worrying. In my earliest Christian years, I was in awe of Christian leaders. I was in awe of pastors. I thought they were like somehow a divine manifestation here on earth. And I thought they just had everything together. I thought they never seemed to be troubled by all the things that us mere mortals were troubled by. And I guess I had these thoughts for a long time until I became a pastor. And then I realized that it was all hogwash. And I realized that we all go through all kinds of things. In fact, I did find over time that the longer I was in ministry, in a sense, the more difficult things became. And many times preachers will not let on that things have been difficult or that they have gone through great pressures, because they want everyone to just think that the sun, moon and stars shine out of them in some special way. I tell you what, that's not true of my life. But anyway, so just want to take you back a couple of months and give you an example in our own family, broader family, some of the stuff that was going on. And if you had been a fly on the wall, these are some of the things that are going back. Now, this was I'll mention nine things that were just all happening in our own personal lives. First of all, it was Christmas time. How many know Christmas time is the most stressful time in Western nations? It is. I remember I just wanted to do the Maya Briggs personality profile with our elders. I'd asked Stuart Redshaw if he would do it, and he said it should be done by someone a little more familiar with it. And he said, why don't you ask a psychologist? So I tried to find a Christian psychologist who would do it with the elders. One that I know and have known for some time was down in Tasmania helping fire victims. The other one was still in Ipswich. But he said this to me. He said, look, he said, I take out a full month of my calendar, 2 weeks before Christmas, 2 weeks after Christmas, and not for holidays. He said, I do 12 hours minimum of counseling over that four-week period. He said, the 2 weeks before Christmas, 2 weeks after Christmas, he said, at this stage, I don't have a single appointment, but he said, it is the most stressful time for people. And he said, I'll leave early in the morning, and I will come home late at night, and I will have done non-stop, back-to-back counseling all the way through. So Christmas time, he said, is just automatically a very stressful time. Second thing, it was the anniversary time of the flood. Now, for those of you who've never been through a traumatic event like a flood or something like that, you think, what's that about? But again, talking with psychologists, and they say when you come to the anniversary of a trauma, the second, third, fourth, and he said for some people it goes through their entire lifetime. When you come to that, everyone becomes more anxious, and it was the anniversary of the flood. And by the way, where you are all sitting, the water in this building was over the head of every single person in this building. So you understand down here, let's see, David, you're a little bit taller, you might have just had from about the forehead up. All right, but it was quite dramatic. Personally, some of you know, in our home, we have our home is like on the back part is on a different level, and our disabled daughter Melanie has a bedroom and ensuite down there, and we have a little elevator that goes up and down, and so during that time it went broke and it never ever worked after that. It's now gone. And so we had to begin taking our daughter literally, physically, up and down steps. And you've got to, I don't know, whatever Mel weighs, 55 kilo or something, but taking her up and down steps all began during this time. A very close family member had an adverse reaction to... come on, earlier than I thought. water, thank you, that's what I need. I was actually, it's funny, even during the song time, I was thinking through, I thought, I've got 9 points. How far will I get? I actually wondered. A very close family member had an adverse reaction to medication that brought on severe panic attacks. That was number four. Number five, another family member was strongly suicidal. Another one, Teresa's mum was seriously ill in hospital with an incurable condition. A reasonably close family member by marriage took their own life. A family marriage was breaking down. Time to drink. That would lead to separation within weeks. Now that's eight. And then in the midst of all that, you think that's enough. In the midst of all that, Terence and Emma turn up and say, "We're staying with you. How good is that?" And we're thinking, "Oh, that's good." You know how you can love people so much, but there are times when anxiety and pressures are such that you think, "Oh." And look, in all, I mean, I love Terence and Emma. I love their little ankle biters. I love all the little munchkins, and every time I look, there's another one there. But you know, all these things were happening all over about 4 days. All over. Whew, more. Next week I'll talk about anxiety, and I'm not allowed to get tearful because I've got the sun, moon and stars shining out of me. It's all right. I will by then. Let me tell you, I have been really putting into practice what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Otherwise, I wouldn't even be here. All right, so when anyone experiences a traumatic time, like some of the stuff that we were going through, worry and anxiety can get a grip on you. And that they do. It's like they just get such a grip on you. So let me ask you, do you worry? What do you worry about? Now, some people worry about family situations. That's the main thing going on. Other people, it might be work situations that really bring great stress and worry to them. Others, it will be schooling kind of situations, university, college. Others, it'll be relationships that they're in and difficulties there. Others, it will be money, it'll be finances and all the stress that comes with that. Others, it'll be health issues that just weigh on them in just amazing ways. Other people just find the world situation and all that's going on. I don't know how many people have told me they don't like watching the news anymore because they find that all of the stuff going on, terrorism, the rise of Islam, diseases, global warming, humanism, right? All these things cause people to worry. Now, if you have never worried, you are blessed indeed. You are blessed indeed. You lay hands on the rest of us after. And in part, and we'll lay hands on you so you know what I've been talking about. I don't want you to be a hearer of the word, I want you to be a doer. Scripture that in Matthew 13, when Jesus talked about the four kinds of soils that the seed went into. Let me read to you verse 22. He said this, he said, "The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful." Now that tells me that worry can so impact us that the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in our hearts, where it's working with the Word of God in our lives, that work is actually choked because we are worriers. Not warriors, worriers. Try to not say it like a New Zealand says it, where you can't tell the difference. Worriers, people who worry about things, people who have things going through our mind over and over and over, worrying about those things. So we have to be a people who have learned some keys to overcome worry. Otherwise, as I said, these worries will cause God's Word and the way the Spirit of God works with the Word of God penetrating into our heart to be choked, so that the spirit is frustrated and the word is ineffective and unfruitful. So what I want to do this morning, I want to share four actions that I think will help break the worry cycle. The first action is this: be specific. What am I worried about? What am I worried about? I know there have been all kinds of studies done about the various things people worry about. One study that I just want to look at here, 40% in this one study, 40% of things we worry about are improbable. They simply are not going to happen. 30% of things we worry about are in the past and we can't change them. They've already happened. We're worried about things that have come and gone, that have no impact on us now. They're things from the past. Already 70% of the things we worry about are not going to happen. Next, 10% of things we worry about are menial. They are really, really small. 12% of things we worry about relate to our health. Now, I find this an incredible thing, because anyone in the allied health industry will tell you that to be in good health, you have to be someone who doesn't worry. And if you worry, it impacts your health. And it impacts your health negatively. So here I am, just say there are physical symptoms or pain or things I'm concerned about, and instead of actually doing something about it, I just worry. What if it's cancer? What if it's this? What if it's something else? And I'm worried about all these things, and yet that's going to make me sick. So we're up to 92%. Now the other 8% are the things we worry about that are actually legitimate. But in the study that they did, only half of this 8%, only 4% of the things that people worried about were things they could do anything about. The other 4% were completely out of their control. So that meant that in this study anyway, when they looked at what people actually worry about, only 4% of what they worried about, they could actually do something about. Or when I say they could do something about, I should word it this way. They were legitimate worries. They were legitimate worries. 4%. The other 96%, in a sense, were not legitimate worries. So be specific about what you're worried about. Begin to look at the things that you worry about. Are the things you worry about improbable in the past, or are they just menial things? Sometimes if we run by another person something that we're worried about, they're able to explain or they're able to say something that will put it into a different perspective. So the first thing, be specific, what am I worried about? Second point, second key, do something about the worries that are legitimate. Do something about the worries that are legitimate. Sometimes things we're worried about, the actual things, are there to catch our attention in some way. In earlier days, I had this sort of more extreme view that credit cards were kind of all evil. You know, in the early days, the bank card, the word V looked like a 6, and then we said 666, and we went through all this stuff, and I would remember when we were driving down to Newcastle, which we did, I would always be looking for the cheapest petrol. I found sometimes that when you come into a little town and I'd be looking at the petrol gauge, and the petrol gauge was looking pretty low. And I'm looking at the petrol gauge and I would not go to the first service station, because the first service station in my mind would always have the most expensive fuel. And then I would drive and drive and drive, and I would feel a little sweat forming, because I'm looking down and I'm thinking, I hope Teresa's not looking down at the petrol gauge. And sometimes I'd even drive through the town because that was the only servo. Now, what would a woman do? Turn around and go back. What would a man do? Drive on! And the sweat would get a bit more and a bit more and a bit more. And I don't know the number of times I'd see a servo and I think, thank you, Jesus. I don't think Teresa's seen the petrol gauge yet. Oh, got to drive in casually, you know, and fill up the tank. And that's even more than the book said the petrol tank can take. You know, wow. Oh, right there. But you know how there are times when some things that we worry about, they're legitimate things that we can do something about. Sometimes it's like a worry gets our attention. All right, so sometimes the worry is like the petrol gauge being down low. When I was in my early 20s, I worried about the fact that I had never put in a tax return. When I finally talked to an accountant, feeling so guilty and wondering if I'd be fined and wondering about this and that and something else, and he looked at how much I'd earned and he said, in all the years you've never earned enough to actually put in a tax return. I said, what? And I thought, I had worried on and off for a couple of years about that. I'd done some part-time work, but I'd gone from high school to university to Bible college and then back and done a bit more university work. And in all that time, I'd just done some part-time work. But I thought I had to put in a taxation return, and I didn't do it. And I worried about it. I worried about it on and off for years. And then the accountant said, you didn't have to put one in. Oh, what a waste of good worry. So we're talking about our second point. Doing something about the worries that are legitimate. Now, some people are more likely men than women, carry great concern about physical symptoms in their body, already touched on this, but don't go to a doctor. Men are far more likely to be in this thing. They'll put up with all kinds of stuff because they fear that their symptoms will be something greater. And so they don't go to a doctor, whereas women are far more likely to actually go to a doctor. If you have fears down this area, then we should be doing something. Go to the jolly doctor. Have a chat to him. All right, another one. We might think someone who normally was warm to us now seems cool. And look, I'm not saying go up to them and saying, you used to be really warm to me and now you look a bit cool to me. What's going on? I mean, you know, that doesn't win friends and influence people, talking like that. I remember years back in Grafton when at a youth camp I had some of the, you know, just great kids coming up and saying, what have we done wrong? And I jokingly said, I don't know. Tell me, what have you done wrong? Because I had no idea. And I said, oh, you just gave us a look over breakfast that made us know we'd done something wrong. I didn't even know they were at breakfast. You know, and it was like they were reading, they were exaggerating, they were super sensitive to some of these things. Look, you know, if some of you, if you think, oh, Jeff used to shake my hand or say something to me, hasn't done that for a while, you just mosey up to me and just say, g'day. And I'll just say, g'day. And everything's all right. You know, like there's no one in this church that I'm intentionally cool toward, all right? Stop worrying about it. All right, third one. Pray. I love the way the Message Bible picks up on a little phrase in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. And this is how the Message Bible says it. Don't fret or worry. And then it says this. It says, instead of worrying, pray. And then this part. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. That's good, isn't it? Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. And next Sunday I'm going to talk about anxiety and how to fight anxiety, how to battle anxiety through faith and through praise. It says, letting God know your concerns, the scripture goes on. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, little pinch there, Romans 8:28, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. That's the Message Bible. My goodness. Not quite what Paul wrote, but yeah, it sounds good, doesn't it? So let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. And if you're worried about a family member, turn that worry into prayer. And I just thought this. In fact, I've got a feeling I did this, did I? No, I didn't. What a difference it would make to our world if every time we began to worry, we shaped that worry into a prayer aimed at impacting the situation. Imagine that. Every time you worried about something, if every time you worried, you then allowed that worry to shape an intentional prayer into that situation. Now, someone will say, and even as I was preparing this and I was practicing it, I was thinking, sometimes when we're worried about things, it's not easy to pray about them. It isn't easy, because thoughts keep coming in. What if this happens? What if that? You relive things, you know, and there might have been a difficult conversation and you thought through what was said and you're going through your head, but you've got to overcome and push through that and deliberately pray about that. Deliberately pray. Push through. Push through. Now, do we all agree that worry doesn't work? It doesn't work. Believe you me, it doesn't work. Do we all agree that prayer does work? Yes, we do. All right. So, I think we bring those two together. We all agree prayer does work and worry doesn't work. So we need to be prayerful. And the last point, fourth one, place your trust in God. And next Sunday I'm going to enlarge on this a little bit more. I think this is especially true when dealing with worries we can do nothing about, worries that are outside of our direct ability to actually influence. There's no action we can take on these worries, so we choose to place our trust in God. There will be times, there will be uncertainties beyond our control. There will be. There will be contradictions. There'll be times when we just don't know what to do. There'll be times when there seems no clear action we can take. And there will be times like that. And we do have to then just say, God, I'm just giving this to you as much as I'm able. And I'm trying to leave it with you. I found, because I think the last couple of days we've had another situation that's a nice little crucible that's getting hotter and hotter and hotter around us. And in the midst of that, I'm trying to commit the situation to God. And it's like I give it to God, and then I begin to think through, so I begin to take it back from Him. You've never done that, have you? God. And He's saying, what are you doing? Oh, nothing, nothing, nothing. I thought you gave that to me. Well, yeah, I just thought I'd think it through again. Oh, what are you doing? Well, nothing. Sometimes it is difficult. It is really difficult. We do try to commit it to God, but I just want to say you've got to press through with that. You've got to press through with that. Some of you would know, and I just saw this on Facebook recently, Gary Abler Jr., the AFL player. How many know who he is? How many know he is born again? And I think it was this morning or very recently, he just put up on his site Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, and just amazing scripture. And it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. When you look at the scripture, it's a conditional promise. There are three conditions. First one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Second one, don't lean on your own understanding. Third one, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and then the promise, He will make your path straight. I didn't look this up personally, but someone else who I trust as a good a preacher had said the word straight carries the thought of someone going ahead, clearing the path, making it smooth, providing guidance for where we need to go. And that's what, you know, when you're dealing with a situation outside of your control, and you have as much as you can, you've committed it to God, and you're saying, God, I'm trying to trust you with this. And the scripture is saying that He will do these things. He will go ahead, clear the path, make it smooth, provide guidance for where we need to go. Do we need someone like that? Oh, we sure do. Especially when what we're going through is outside of our ability to actually do something with. So just bring this to a close. What have I just said. They're just four keys to overcoming worry. Number one, be specific. Think through, what am I worried about? Number two, do something about the worries that are legitimate worries. Number three, pray. And number four, place your trust in God. Because there will be so many that are completely outside of anything you can do. And so we need to be a people who say, God, I commit, I yield it to you, I roll it over to you, I leave it with you. And then we have to resist the thought to let all that come back, and we try to take all those thoughts back and the worries back. We've committed the situation to God, and we have to learn to leave it with Him. We're going to pray, and then we're going to close off just singing that lovely chorus, No Longer Slaves. Father, we just thank You that You are the God who encourages us to roll all of our anxieties and all of our worries onto You. You're an amazing God. You're an extraordinary God. Father, we are mere mortal beings. We are human beings. Father, we are impacted by sin. We live in a world that is broken. We are surrounded by broken people. And we are broken. We are surrounded by broken circumstances. Father, You say to us, I don't know how many times in Scripture, don't worry. You recognize worry will rob us from that seed bringing forth fruit in our life. Worry blocks the Spirit of God from being able to take the Word of God and penetrate into the human heart and soul. So I just pray, help us follow these things through. I just pray, Lord God, help us persevere. Because the enemy does not want us to be free from worry. He wants us to be persistent worriers. You want us to be persistent worriers who take hold of the weapons and who see the victory. But Father, I just pray that You will work even with what's been shared this morning and next week and over the next few weeks as these themes are followed through more and more, that You'll set us free in Yourself more and more and more. Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's some stand. Sing through that we're not going to be slaves to fear. And as we do sing this through, not going to talk further through the song, but if you'd like prayer, if there are areas that just the worries of the world, the things going on, have become overpowering possibly for you, you think that if someone prayed with you, it would be of some help, please come to the front. Come to the front and you'll be prayed for. You